There we go with the John Curley, Sherry Elliker Show. Thanks, everybody, for coming along with the ride. Much appreciated. There's Danny Tiny. She's going to get the letter of the day ready to go. All you got to do is text. Okay. Write to us at MyNorthwest.com, although Andrew says...
Potato.
No, Andrew says...
Potato.
Okay, and Joe says that some people actually do write to MyNorthwest.com, so you can do that. You can also text... At Marcus Casino Resort, text line at 1-888-973-5476. Your text read aloud. One of you is letter of the day. All righty. Do salamanders bite? Sherry, check that out with your Googling, because I was doing my plunge today and I felt something kind of nibbling at my toe.
All right, let's see.
When is it biting on my toe? What was that biting on my toe? A snake or something? Or is it in the water and scared the daylights out of me?
Let's take a look here. Salamanders bite. Yes, they can bite, but they are not venomous or poisonous to handle. They are timid and rarely bite, usually only if they mistake your hand for food. Their small teeth rarely penetrate skin. If you are bitten, clean the wound immediately and monitor for signs of infection.
How about if you're nude? Does it bite other parts of you? Check that out. All right, while that's going on, Biden signs the TikTok ban. So they got it together a couple of weeks ago in the House, pushed it in the Senate. The Senate was able to sort of nudge it with a bunch of other bills as well. So they have 9 months to divest, to get China out of there, and then force the sale of TikTok to an American conglomerate so that they can take advantage of people with a short attention span, so you can dance and do all sorts of other weird stuff that we could then put on the radio. So TikTok will live, but American companies will now make money off of TikTok.
And this article, it talks about the fact that, you know, don't worry about this, that these short form videos are going to still be out there. They'll be on Instagram. They're on YouTube. 70 million daily views right now on those. And there's something called Reels, and that has 3.5 billion views a day.
Oh, my God. Oh, Sherry. You know, we try to broadcast to a broad demographic of people, but when you say stuff like, "Yeah, this thing called Reels,"
Sherry made a reel today. Actually, it was attempting to make pancakes.
See that, Sherry? There you go.
My reels are out there. I'll be down there.
Fine.
It'll be okay. I mean, if that's what you're going to TikTok for, there's reassurance that this is not these videos that you love so much will still be out there.
It will be interesting to see whether or not, now that China doesn't have influence over what you see, will you still be getting, I sent it to you, Joe. Was it sound that somebody said the TikTok reels that people get, the majority is like for every 10 pro Hamas Gaza terrorist bits of information, like, the Jews are horrible, you get one pro-Israel and 10 pro-Hamas. And they said, that's got to be coming from China. And that has to be influencing these kids that are taking over all these universities, if you're getting your information. Under the age of 40, the majority of people get their news from Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. The average amount of news consumed daily is 1 minute and 50 seconds. For somebody under the age of 25, it's like, oh, my God. So if China is influencing you and sending you the news they want to send you, well, that just helps reinforce the mush in your brain. FBI Director Chris Wray was talking with Lester Holt about the dangers of TikTok.
Can you be specific about what your fear is and whether that's actually happening or it's simply potential for it happening?
TikTok, for us, represents a national security concern. And the reason I say that is that TikTok's parent company is beholden to the Chinese government. And so when Americans stop and think about how do they feel about the power, the access, the capability, the control that TikTok has, they need to be thinking about it in terms of how do they feel about that same power, access, capability, control in the hands of TikTok's parent, in Chinese government and ultimately in the Chinese intelligence services. So that for us manifests itself in three specific ways. It has to do with the data, it has to do with the recommendation algorithm, it has to deal with the software. The data, we're talking about the ability to control or collect data on millions and millions of users and to use it for all sorts of influence operations like driving their AI efforts, which are not remotely constrained by the rule of law.
Are they doing that now, or that's simply they have the capability to do that?
What I would say to you is that they are currently attempting to steal our AI and hack American technology every day. When it comes to TikTok, we are concerned very specifically about the risks that that poses, given China's well-demonstrated playbook.
Yeah, you know, perfect example of the influence of the Chinese government. Kids in China get TikTok, but what they get are math problems, exercise prompts, all educational things, and then it turns off. It only gives them like 45 minutes of it or something. But in the United States, you 7 hours, 8 hours of stuff. Remember when they did the letter from Osama bin Laden? And then all these TikTok people were like, you know, now that I've read this letter from Osama bin Laden, you know, I think those towers coming down and what they did to us was justified. If you read what Osama bin Laden's letter was, do you remember that when that came out like 4 or 5 months ago?
Yeah.
All those TikTok people. Well, where do you think the letter came from? You think somebody just found it? No, it was sort of thrown into the cesspool of crap that comes from China and then goes to American minds of people that have no idea of history or understanding the place of America in the world. So, you know, they watch this stuff and they share it to their friends, and that's all you need is that.
This morning I read Letter to America, yeah, which is Osama bin Laden's letter to America explaining why he attacked Americans.
Yes. Yes.
And I am ashamed to say that I not only have never read this letter, but I didn't even know this letter existed. It's wild, okay, and everyone, yeah, should read it. If you haven't read it yet, read it. However, be forewarned that this has left me very disillusioned, and I feel, mm-hmm, the same exact way I felt when I was deconstructing Christianity. I feel a little bit just confused, yeah, like I have entered into another timeline. What is this?
Wow.
And yeah, so go read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
great advice.
Yeah. Yeah. Great advice. Thank you.
Now, TikTok has already prepared a lawsuit, and they've been very successful in court, winning some First Amendment lawsuits. So this will go to court. They may or may not win, but they've got about 9 months to get this, you know, somebody else to buy it. And they think the president will extend it 3 additional months if they still haven't found a buyer.
The president was asked whether or not he's going to stay on TikTok because he is putting stuff up on TikTok. And he said, bye, bye, Shava.
No, he said, there's a thing called Reels.
Come on, man. Come on.
No joke.
No joke. 4 years. Pause.
I really mean this. It's serious because you're going to make it hard for you to believe.
He's giving a speech, I think, today somewhere. Here he was, or is yesterday, and he got the part about, you know, 4 more years. And then he read pause out loud.
Like, oh. Think about what you'd think about at the time. Think about how you'd feel. It's wrong. It's not who we are. And we're going to fix that too.
Okay. Man, oh man. When he read pause out loud, if he were a 45-year-old guy running for president or a president at the age of 45 or 50, that would mark his presidency for the rest of his life. Like Ford falling down and then everybody making fun of Ford, he fell, right? And that was the whole, everybody made fun. If the guy was 45 or 47 years old and he was, four more years, pause, and then right for the next line, that's what everything, right? Ron Burgundy, I'm Ron Burgundy. But this idea that you can have this guy out on the stump and supposed to make people feel that he's got all the vim and vigor needed, it's more and more evident he's not getting any younger, and it's only going to get worse. Still, no word from the White House as to whether or not they're going to have a debate. But that goes back to the debate of there should be a debate. Most people are saying there should be at least one, and do whatever you need to do to get old Joe, give him lots of coffee or something. Get him ready to go against Donald Trump, because I think the American people, if you don't step into that ring and debate Donald Trump, they're going to see that. Well, that's I'm going to have to just assume that everything I assume already about you is true, or maybe even worse. So come on, man. I mean it. One out of five adults say over 50 say they will never expect to retire. I could easily see that. Right. Most people don't have any sort of savings. Most people think Social Security is going to take care of them. Most people know that they're just going to have to keep working and working and working. The idea of retirement was invented, Sherry, by Otto von Bismarck because they were afraid that the communists were going to take over. So he came up with this idea of your golden years. And he was the one that came up with the idea of Social Security early on. He said, listen, what we'll do is and he wanted to get younger people, older people out of the workforce so that there were jobs for younger people to come in. So Otto von Bismarck came up with this idea that we will take care of you. The state will take care of you, and they'll take care of your golden years. And you can retire. You can step out and you know, enjoy the last, I guess back then, the last 6 weeks of your life or whatever you had left. But most people never thought about retiring. You just kept working, and then eventually you work 100,000 hours on the job, and then you pass away, and then you later retire. But one out of four, I don't think that's going to come as a shock to anybody. Most people are not in any sort of financial shape to retire.
It's true, and they're saying part of it is that they're so worried about day-to-day living expenses that inflation has taken over so much of their income. And you're right, a quarter of all adults don't have any retirement at all. They haven't saved. And so they're also looking to politicians to see what they're going to do about Social Security and Medicare. 65% or 65 and older males make up about 30% of all voters, as opposed to Gen Z and millennials. That only makes up about 11%. And Medicare says they're going to run out of money by 2031. And Social Security says they're going to run out of money by 2033.
Mm-hmm. So unless something's done, right.
Yes. So older voters are looking for those protections. Younger voters, they can't even perceive of that at this point in their lives.
At your young age, do you think about retirement?
I have a feeling it will be thinking about me before I think about it. So I don't.
That there's the difference between retiring and then being fired or separated, right? I'm talking, Let's just say, you make the decision. That's it. I'm not going to work anymore. Is that a dream?
Maybe eventually, but I'm not there at all. I mean, I like what I do, and I've always liked it. And if I can keep doing it, I'd love to be able to. But yeah, there's always that part of you that thinks, what if I just didn't do anything? What if I just got up every day and did whatever I wanted? Didn't have any responsibilities, didn't have any real obligations.
You'd be dead in 4 days.
Because right now I feel a little overwhelmed with some of those things. So it's a pleasant thought, but it's fleeting, because I would really like to continue to work.
I say this with some hesitation, because I know a lot of people that have jobs. The jobs are hard. Hard jobs. I got friends that are plumbers and carpenters, and they get up off the floor like, oh, my knees, right? And climbing underneath things and lifting stuff up, your back gives out. It's tough. That's real work. You don't sweat on this job, right? I mean, you could be 80 years old or whatever and keep talking on the radio and say things like, hey, they got these things called reels.
Is that why you're asking me about retirement? It's just throw it in, man. You are just so out of it.
Yeah. I got to keep going. I have no desire to give up on any of that stuff. Just find something else to do. Most people that do retire, all of a sudden they're left with time, and then they have no purpose, and then you'll see it. You see a lot of old people. Remember all the guys from 60 Minutes that all eventually started retiring, and then, like, you know, 8 months later, oh, Andy Rooney's dead, and then Mike Wallace, and they would all just pass away. I do think there's something to work. It's essential to us to just keep going, you know, and just have some purpose in life. But when people retire, if they don't have anything else that they care about, any hobbies that can turn into something that's bigger to take more of their time, they're putzing around looking for things to do. So I'm not surprised by that number. It just speaks to the coddling of the American people when they came up with the whole idea of, don't worry, we're going to make sure Social Security is there for you. We're going to call it the FICA, the financial, it'd be the, it's the income contribution, right? So it's not a tax, it's a contribution. We're going to put the money aside for you, and it's going to be in a really crappy account that gets like maybe 2% or something. And someone said, why can't I take my money and put it in a 401k? Or why can't I take my money and invest it what I want to put it into? Oh, no, 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 no. We know
best. It's such a great question. That's, I ask myself that every day.
Thank you, life. That's right. No, because the government's going to take the money for you. Don't worry about it. We'll take it.
Now, given all of these...
Al Gore's lockbox. Yeah. Going to put it in a lockbox. It's not a lockbox. You put money in, it goes right out to somebody else.
Have you considered taking Social Security early because of the fact that it may not be there?
Oh, I know it's not going to be there. They sent you the thing. Did you get the thing in the mail 2 weeks ago? It shows you how much money you've made in your life and how much you can get every single month. And then down at the bottom page, you know, these are projected estimates. It may or may not be there. No, I don't care. I'm not counting on it. Besides, you take it out early, they start to whack you. You get less of it. No.
Well, if there's nothing there, you really get less of it. So.
Right. I'm not counting on it. No way. I'm putting all my money in the in weddings. I just hope people keep getting married.
That's a plan.
I read a thing today about less and less people getting married. It's like, oh, my God, I got this big barn up here. Come on, everybody, get married.
Maybe you can have divorce parties.
I would have divorce anything. I don't care. Get on up here. Get it going on. That's what it says. What's that? Says on the sign out front. Get it going on. Get it going on. Get up here. Say I do. Here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker show. You're writing to us. It's good and good for you. Come on in to the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. 1-888-973-5476. Teeny tiny right over there. Come on, don't look. She's looking sad because she can't win Employee of the Week. Nine times in a row is fine. So it's all right.
I do not get it.
All right, never mind. Here comes Todd Myers. Because, hang on. It's Todd. That's right. I saw this story this morning at 5:30. I thought, I wonder if Todd will be up. Washington to launch EV rebate program. Here's what you could save. It's looking to take $50 million out of your pocket. It's in the general fund. And they're going to say, hey, if you're a single person, you make under $45,180 a year, wouldn't it be great if you could have an EV car? Oh, now you can't afford it. So what we're going to do for you is we're going to take money from the taxpayers and we're going to subsidize you for you can buy an EV car. So when I sent that over to Todd at like 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, bing, right away, he writes back with that Todd Myers math from the Washington Policy Center that we all love. How did you do the math in order to find out that this is a ridiculous program? My words, not yours, Todd.
Let me first say it is the emblematic of the exciting life of a policy wonk that at 6 a.m. I'm having discussions about government subsidies.
Yes. Yes. Listen, no one ever thought you were exciting, so don't worry about having to pull back the big curtain on that. So when you did because the math you did was so simple as you sort of laid it out. What did you add, subtract, and divide to see that this is just more waste of money?
So again, I try to always use the government's own data, because a lot of studies you'll see is people play games and say, well, I did my own massaging of the data. So I use the state's numbers, which is $45 million for the program, and they say they will reduce it by they will reduce CO2 emissions by 24,000 metric tons, which is about almost $2,000 a metric ton. That means nothing to anybody except people like me, but I will just give you this comparison. Okay. It costs about $10 a metric ton. I can go right now and pay $10 a metric ton and support a project that reduces CO2. So the state's own program spends about 200 times as much as a program as I could get. And so the easiest way I can think to, you know, sort of convey what that means, it's like paying more than $1,100 for a grande latte.
And the grande is not expensive. The venti either. That's not even the big one. That's the middle one. That's your middle one right there for $1,100.
You may or may not get sprinkles, yes.
Yeah, but you see so many holes in this program. Oh, we want it, it's also equity. They do the equity thing. It's not fair that just rich people should drive $90,000 cars. How about poor people? They should be able to drive $90,000 cars too, like EV cars, right? Get them out of their other old clunkers and put them in an EV. They think that the money will be there until it runs out. Do you think anybody is going to actually take them up on this?
Oh, absolutely. People will take them. I mean, it's enormous amount of money. And especially for the lease, because it's $9,000 to cover a 3-year lease. And so people will be able to figure out a way to take advantage of it. But good policy means, you know, what do we get for the investment? And what we get for the investment is tiny. So, like, if you want to help people who are poor, great. I'm all for that. We need a social safety net. But if you say to people, look, I'm going to give you $9,000 to make your life better, and they say, great, thank you. No. You can only do that if you buy a Tesla. That's what we want you to do. We'll only give you the $9,000. It's like, I don't need a Tesla. I have a car. Nope, sorry, you have to buy a Tesla. Well, that's not really helping then, is it? This doesn't work on any level. It doesn't work as a program to help people who are in need. It doesn't work as an environmental program. It works in one way, as a press conference that you can say, look how much I care about the environment. I'm spending $45 million of the taxpayers' money on electric vehicles. It is really a bad policy.
Todd, I have a question. If it just doesn't seem to talk about math, it doesn't seem to make sense at all. This is given to people that make about $45,000 a year. How can someone, even if they get, I know the lease thing is a great deal, but it's just $5,000 off a new EV and $2,500 off of a used EV. Now, if you're making $45,000 a year, how can you afford that even with the discount?
You probably can't. Now, for a family of four, because it's based on federal poverty level, for a family of four, it's about $95,000, which if you live in King County, it's not nothing, but still not a huge amount. So, yes, it's going to require people to stretch, which is why I say that it's not as generous as it seems, because you're telling people, as you say, either a couple making $45,000 or a family making $90,000, look, we'll give this to you if you buy a really expensive car. So I just think it fails on so many levels.
It's actually the total amount. So the state is kicking in five plus 2,500, so it's 7,500 plus the federal. It could be as much as $15,000 off the price of the car for people. They say the lease is not a good move for a lot of people because they're going to get whacked when it comes to they go over the certain amount of miles anywhere between. They give you like 10,000 to 12,000 miles a year. If you're using the car more, people that tend to make less money tend to drive more miles because they're living further away from work, and they might work 6 days a week and they might be driving the car more. So it's going to come back to bite them later on when they're going to turn the car in and have to pay 25 cents for every mile over the agreed amount. So taking the lease part out of it, the $15,000 that they would get to buy a car. Now, the car has to be under $90,000. I mean, this is such a joke. And the fact that you stand up there and say it, and no one in the press says it, and the Seattle Times doesn't even get anybody to, they don't even call you on this to go, does this make any sense to anyone? So you get $15,000 off on the car. By the way, the cost of insuring an EV could be anywhere between 15 and 25% higher than an average car. So you got that additional cost of like $260 a month included on that. They're not going to help you with that. But it's just to get you out of your car for equity. They want to make sure that even poor people can afford, or even poor people can drive a car that they can't afford. And where are they going to plug the thing in? If you're making $45,000 a year, where's the electricity? You parked where? Out in some lot somewhere? Where's the electricity come from for you to charge it overnight? The whole thing is it's like if somebody had no idea how other people lived and came up with this program because they've got the $50 million or whatever you said is $48 million they want to spend on this program. This is just, it's just, they're blind by this religion.
Well,
that's
and,
my take
anyway. What's frustrating is that we hear all the time that it's a climate crisis, that it's an
yes.
existential crisis. Well,
yes,
if something is an existential crisis, you better make sure that what you do works. If there was an asteroid coming toward the planet, we would make sure that the rockets going to hit it actually hit it. And when they missed it, we wouldn't just shrug and go, oh, well.
Yep.
But
yeah.
that's what we do with climate policy all the time, is that these policies constantly waste money. They don't yield good results. And then we shrug and go, oh, well, and next Earth Day we announce, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars more for new programs that don't do anything. It's very frustrating, and I think it is emblematic of the fact that environmental policy and climate policy is more about identity politics and image than it is the planet.
There you go. Hey, well said. All right, TM, get back to your exciting life there, would you?
Yeah, I got lots of other people to text me at 5 a.m.
Go Mariners! Go Mariners! Come on, Todd! Yeah, come on! What? They're going to be in first place! Come
Absolutely.
On!
We got the best
right,
staff in baseball.
There we go. That's something positive coming out of you. All right. Thank you, Todd. Let's go over to Todd from Myers and Washington Policy Center. Check him out all the time. An ongoing effort to continue to remain sexy, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. It's a good effort.
Somebody decided to take a picture of Mark Zuckerberg and put a beard on it. And then everyone is like, oh, Zuck is back. The Zuck is, Zuck. Look at him now with a beard. He's sexy, sexy. And people
yeah.
are saying, oh, no, the beard thing, the lumberjack look is going away. You got to get rid of that. Beards are not as sexy as they used to be, but still. People now the ongoing discussion as to whether or not our why are beards sexy for well as a woman why don't you explain why you just can't keep your eyes off me Sherry
well Mark Zuckerberg they say went from dud to stud when they added some facial hair and I have to admit he looks so much better with a little facial hair because he's got a big face. So
yes,
to
does.
Break it up a little bit with that, it really, really made a difference. Back in 2016, and remember that era, they took a poll, and they said that a little bit of stubble or light to heavy stubble was perceived as more attractive. But that was back when people were doing that, you know, when they had like kind of a beard, but not
yes.
really. Okay,
yeah,
so...
Yeah.
The reasons are because it's a sign of dominance. It's a sign of masculinity, and it's a sign of maturity. So Mark Zuckerberg looks very young. He still looks kind of like a teenager. When you add that beard, though, suddenly he becomes more sophisticated. He becomes more masculine. And so it is the most obvious sign of dominance. And that's what I guess... unconsciously or something women are attracted to.
That's right. I'd seen a study a couple of years ago that women like bearded men better than non-bearded men. And I actually witnessed it in my own home at the barn when the guy came to rent the place for his daughter's wedding. And Nick got all like weak in the knees and all googly and he's laughing at every silly thing the guy was saying. He's like, well, there's a lot of square footage in here.
Maybe he was really funny. But you're
gonna
say no.
There's a lot of square footage in here. Oh, what? Excuse me. Maybe I don't get the humor. A lot of square footage. That's funny. How do you heat this? Is it electric or propane? Oh, it's propane.
I'm sure you're exaggerating ever so slightly, but look what you did. If it really didn't bother you, if it didn't bother you and you just thought it was dumb, you wouldn't have done what you did, which is
grow a beard.
Right?
And I admitted that I was doing it just for that reason. Because I've known Nick for 10 years. It's like, look, a lot of times you sort of give up in a relationship. Like, you know, if your wife thinks that's attractive, then do that. If you have to wear a silly hat or, you know, wear, you know, fishing waders all the time because she's thinking, then wear that. Like, if she thinks you're sexy, that's a cue. She's telling you. And if you put a shirt on, she's like, ugh, I hate that shirt. And it suddenly disappears. Where it goes, who knows? Just let it go. Right? Just let it go.
Well, she didn't necessarily say you would be sexier with a beard. She just liked that guy with a beard.
I gotta just make sure.
You're definitely sexier with the beard.
Thank you, Joe.
Welcome.
I don't know why that's somewhat comforting coming for you, but thank you.
Glad Joe's noticing.
Go ahead, Sherry.
No, you look great no matter what.
Obviously, you can't even form words. You're so, you know, you're a woman. You've got desires and urges. It's okay.
I like you with a beard, but I personally like clean-shaven men.
Okay.
I think they look sexier that way.
All right, we'll
but
compromise.
I do like.
I'll shave half it off for the next segment. No,
just do the C. Everett Koop thing where you just shave off the mustache and then you have like the lamb chop.
The Abraham
come
Lincoln,
down.
Dude, yeah, the Lincoln, right. Yeah, the Amish guy. Yeah, we all go all Amish, right? Remember, for a while there, Andrew was doing the mutton chops. I don't know what.
Yeah, that's right.
That was not by choice. I couldn't grow a mustache. That's why I had a mutton chop for so long.
It was
so you
wild.
Were hoping that it would connect or something?
Well, my mustache has grown in now, but back then it hadn't. Oh. It was the last thing to show up.
Oh, yeah, it was hard to. It was Come hard on. To be your friend. It was really touch and go there for a while. I couldn't even look at you.